little bit. There is no news at this time of any further bombing. Mozambique citizens, only 3 years under socialism since their independence, have not done anything to provoke, at least at this time, by defending themselves, an excuse for NATO or USA to enter in. United League keeps marching. Tupelo, Holly Springs, and now Oklahoma sound like the names of quiet, pastoral, southern small towns. Nothing could be further from reality. Today, these Mississippi towns are being rocked with the protest of black members and supporters of the United League. And those protests, a league leader, Alfred Robinson, are getting more militant in their fifth month and will continue to press even harder as time progresses in spite of the arrest of most of their leaders. They're protesting police brutality and murder that has never been brought to sentence. They are talking about the Ku Klux Klan membership increase that is frightening. The Oklahoma police are now beating up people who are opposed to the Ku Klux Klan. One who did was leaned against police chief's car. The chief ordered him in Oklahoma City to get off the car, even when he was told to spread eagle. And Ford was rescued only by two black passerbys. He was later arrested because the police looked as if they were preparing to beat him to death until they saw there were witnesses present. A black woman factory worker was recently fired with no reason given. A black worker is currently hospitalized in serious condition since yesterday after a white co-worker hit her on the head with a hammer. The blow came after the black worker protested the white worker spraying paint on her. This happened in Holly Springs, Mississippi. 2 hours before, in Mississippi, 475 people marched in Tupelo. This is just the latest in a series of marches in Tupelo protesting the racism and brutality of law enforcement people. There have been several mysterious deaths in a two-week period in Mississippi of black and people of color. 90% of blacks in the South wouldn't be in college if it wasn't for federal money. They're also protesting now the Baca decision, reverse discrimination, where blacks will not now be able to go to school and will have inferior training schools, if they can afford it, in private schools reserved for only blacks and Indians. Corresponding to the United League, a 10-year-old black organization is planning to begin organizing in the four counties immediately surrounding Tupelo, Mississippi, and expand Tupelo picket lines. Some 20% of the blacks from these counties do their shopping in Tupelo, and once they have been organized to support the boycott, it's hopeful, then Tupelo will be able to sit down and negotiate the crimes against the people in Mississippi, particularly more manifest than ever before. There was a peasant revolt under Allende. The peasant question is central for revolutionary processes in most underdeveloped countries. In a recently released book, Agrarian Reform Under Allende, Dr. Allende was the socialist elected nonviolent leader of Chile. Kyle Steenland, in his book, gives a first-hand look at the way in which the mobilization of peasants, primarily Mapuche Indians, M-A-P-U-C-H-E, and land redistribution was handled properly during the Chile's popular unity government under the socialist Dr. Allende from 1970 to 73 until the CIA with our tax dollars that causes us considerable guilt cruelly killed him with the $7 million that Kissinger provided from our tax money. The book's subtitle, Peasant Revolt in the South, gives a better picture of its content, however. Steenland takes the reader to the Cotton province in southern Chile and brings to life the pre-revolutionary period as it was experienced in miniature in that region. The principal setting in Lautaro, L-A-U-T-A-R-O County, where the Mapuche population was living on a reservation of only marginally productive land, the size of the reservation had gradually dwindled over the years as the Mapuches were victimized by cheating, brutalizing, and stealing on the part of the neighboring large landowners. Two events happened in 1970 which were to have profound impact on the lives of the Mapuches in Lautaro County, Salvador Allende, socialist candidate of the leftist Popular Unity Coalition, was elected president of Chile, and members of the Revolutionary Left Movement, MIR, came to the reservations to live with the Mapuches and began to organize the struggle to win back the stolen land. One of the first tactics the MIR organizers proposed, which had been very successful in other parts of rural Chile, was fence running. Very simply, the peasants got together in the middle of the night and moved the fence dividing the reservations from the neighboring large profit private land holdings, many of them held by U.S. absentee landowners. The fence was moved about 100 yards into Rinconada Farm, whose owner was a principal figure in the theft of reservation lands. I have to excuse, I've been up many nights, all night again on the radio, and I have a temperature and a slight chill. So that's why you may notice some quavering in the voice, but I shall continue to give you the truth, because only the truth can set you free. Because of the political situation at the time, the consequences of this de facto reclaiming of land was a standoff. The courts refused to rule on the landowner's complaint. Everybody knew that if Dr. Allende won the election in the fall, the rights of the peasants would be upheld and extended. If the right wing won, there would be a strong backlash. When Dr. Allende, the socialist, did win, the next step was for the Mapuches to take over Rinconada Farm completely. The struggles and conflicts that ensued are the focus of Steenland's narrative genius in a simple and readable style. He relates the difficulties of carrying forth a collective process within the farm and portrays the complexities of responding to a growing right-wing fascist offensive while maintaining pressure on the Popular Unity officials to carry through on their campaign promises. The setting alternates from the specific farm to the process taking place throughout the region and the country. Relating local events to the larger picture, it is here where the author's first-hand experience in living and working in the area during the time in question is invaluable in drawing out the larger lessons. And the lessons are many. Just know the commentary. Just know this book. That's important. All commentaries. And the lessons are many. The book is not just an interesting book or a look at the pre-revolutionary process which took place in socialist Chile before the military coup engineered by U.S. capitalism, though and through the example of Chile, important experiences which have relevance to the questions facing leftists in the USA and elsewhere are very related. Steenland presents an insightful way how questions such as the relationship between the party and the masses were approached both by the MIR, with whom the author clearly sympathizes, as well as by members of other left parties who were given official government positions in the truly democratic elected government of Dr. Allende after his socialist victory. We also see the difficulties encountered in incorporating women into political activity. The situation with the Mapuche women was especially difficult given their severe isolation on the reservation. The special efforts made by the MIR organizers, while successful in some cases, point out how deeply entrenched cultural values and traditions cannot be eradicated, that is erased overnight, and how their resolution must be a part of the more general revolutionary process. Another similar problem was the difficulty. In other words, social reform will not work. It takes revolution. Another similar problem was the difficulty which some of even the poorest peasants had in giving up the concept of private property. This was successfully struggled against when the Mapuche at first wanted to divide up the newly expropriated land into many small individual plots. But it emerges as a collective, cooperative farm gets underway like ours, and some of the peasants insist on spending most of their time working their private plots, not like us, are borrowing the collective tools for their own without returning them. The remnants of capitalism, even in the masses, defeated socialism in Chile. Perhaps most clearly pointed out in the book, as is the case with the entire Chilean experience during the Popular Unity left years, is the limits of reformist policies and programs. The need to guarantee the political independence of the working class and its allies is made evident, and the opposing views put forward by the MIR and some of the Popular Unity parties on, for example, the needs of independent peasant councils is graphically portrayed. The increasingly violent reaction of the bourgeoisie as the agrarian agricultural reform is carried forward becomes a more prominent theme as the book develops. The book ends, as did the Allende years, with a bloody military coup engineered by USA capitalism and a serious setback for the popular movement. Many of the principal figures in the book were slaughtered by the military after being tortured, or their names now appear among the tens of thousands of disappeared political prisoners in Chile that was put in power the military by U.S. our tax dollars. But the military was not successful in eliminating everyone. Some of the more prominent organizers successfully escaped to the mountains, presumably to later connect with the party, and begin work again in this new stage of class struggle for socialism. Others not so well known are able to survive the initial roundups after the military coup brought about by USA tax dollars and stay in the area. The junta has, of course, returned all the land to the rich private landlords and the absentee capitalists living in USA, and the Mapuche are back on their now even smaller reservation. But the political consciousness gained during those years stays with them, and the lessons will not be forgotten. Thus ends the commentary of Agrarian Reforms Under Dr. Allende, Peasant Revolt in the South, written by Kyle Steenland, University of New Mexico Press, Albuquerque. Thus ends the news and commentary. Know it well. Classes tonight. Let us work well. Let us produce well. Step up time. For the hour I gave, we really couldn't afford it. Not at all. Take a half an hour for lunch, show that we care by our work, because otherwise we have the blood of those that are seeking liberty on our hands, and feel guilt for ever looking back to Babylon or thinking about America or your own selfishness. There's no problem that can't be worked out, and we're expecting you to do that cooperatively. Much love. I love you very, very much. You are studying for the socialist classes. We should be calling just our adult, our community classes, Friday night community classes, to all guests, because we will be having guests. Remember the absolute urgency of getting everything looking just as nice and neat as possible, speeding up on the road, and getting the bananas planted in every area around the vegetable stands, behind the theater pavilion, so that everything will look as lovely as possible. And rehearse to each other in gratitudes, which will keep your healing, your protection, the beauties of this place, so you can tell them to others when you're asked. That's important. Very important. We need to point out how beautiful a community we have. Know some of the youth. I would like it worked up, some of the youth and their backgrounds, by Ava, the counseling department. Have it worked up on where they were, where they are now. That's a contrast of untold beauty, and we need to have that so that people can hear it here and talk about it to people coming through. Youth that were on their way to jail, youth that were destroying themselves by drugs, were going to be killed by gangs or racist elements. Any one of you who have a great testimony of where your life was, meaninglessness and in despair, shoplifting, the number that were before they got here, will you please write that up and see that it is into Ava's department under her head, counseling, so that we can talk much of the beauty. Again, I stress, do not label anyone capitalist. Don't be using those terms. Don't be saying you're a good socialist, because that causes people to react negatively when you call them a capitalist or they're not a socialist. We will not use those terms anyway when guests are here. We will talk about people in terms of their name and their faults and their wonderful high points, as we see so much beauty and so much growth. Again, remember that we are a nonviolent people. We believe in peace. Don't even like to kill animals. It's very difficult for us, but we know that it's necessary for eating. The beauty of the two children who saved the little fish in the aquarium. don't have weapons, don't need them. We don't believe in any form of physical violence. We don't spank. Obviously, you see, we don't. We don't hit each other. That's a community rule. If someone hits one another, then they are deprived of certain privileges or have to take on extra responsibilities. We do not talk of any of our, you know, philosophy in terms of politics. We just believe in cooperative living. We do that certainly with the Guyanese, and happily so. But when we're having guests that would be from other places, you never know what they are and who they are. And we certainly are not pro any one country, not pro-Soviet, not pro-Chinese. Obviously, we are of the conclusion that socialism has to be built. Communal life has to be built by each community or nation, unique to its own problems. We believe in international detente, peace. We would like to see disarmament and destruction of nuclear weapons, stopping the spreading of those nuclear weapons before they bring the death and hell that everybody's talking about these days that they will bring. So keep those things in mind. We do not believe in suicide. We do not, of course, ever cut people's hair off, that ridiculousness. We do not have to wear any particular clothes to be disciplined, or hats. We do not get buried in boxes, and we obviously can see all those things, but we need to point out the beauty. In your home, you, when you're asked how many are there, your apartment, say, I don't know just how many. And if in your home you speak in terms, well, it's three, five people, no more, whatever number you pick out. Until we're building, as you see on the zone map, which should be put out now, 101 new houses, new hospital unit, geriatric section, warehouses, all sorts of things. That needs to be gotten out of the radio room and out into the pavilion so people can look to it and see our master plan for building. Please save everything you can and think of ways of making money like Ken Norton did with the lovely chair and the brooms. Everyone that does things like that, you're helping more than you can possibly know. We need every possible means of making money and saving money. Any other community procedure, please remember it and talk about it very much. We will now give you news coming from Radio Moscow. Earlier you had BBC, Voice of America, and Radio Voice of the Netherlands, and Socialist, or Social Democracy, rather, Sweden. Know the difference between a social democracy and a socialist country, because most socialists consider the major dangers of socialism to be social democracy, anarchy, Trotskyism, and revisionism. Be sure you know the news of this day, the commentary on Chile, how still alive in spite of the overthrow, as Dr. Ellsberg says, the cruelty, the destructiveness of America that put that military regime in power. Some of the good work still lingers on, and Chile is in unrest now, with people remembering those 3 years of socialist freedom they had and elected it, and yet they were denied their government by our tax dollars that destroyed the great doctor, medical doctor Allende, and it gives us great pain if we think about it. We ought to work on our guilt. Be sure in your test to be prepared to do what you were asked last night in reflection on yourself. Review the news, the synopsis of the news that I gave last night, preparation for testing. We want to be prepared. We will meet in group session unless otherwise noted. You'll meet in group session tonight in your various classes. Radio Moscow, Yuri Andropov, criticized the opponents of peace, one of the members of the Presidium. Pravda, in the strongest terms, has denounced Chinese hegemony and imperialism. 87 bus drivers arrested in Johannesburg because they were black and were trying to get some job opportunities and salary increases, job benefits and salary increases, and the 87 black bus drivers were arrested, held in what is known as detention laws at the USA, as even now upheld in its own Supreme Court, that can be done there. You can be held without trial indefinitely. You're not entitled to a trial. You're just held in jail indefinitely. That is the case, for instance, with the newsman, Farber, from the New York Times, who refused to give over files that might be helpful to the defense of the cruel murder by a medical doctor who owns a hospital, who killed 5 people with curare injections, poisoning them to death because they were welfare patients, both black and white, and he wanted the beds for higher-paying guests. Andropov pointed out that Washington is making unfriendly acts towards the USSR every day. China is trying to push Japan into an anti-Soviet position, and that China, in its doctrine of the three worlds, is mistakenly and misguidedly leading the world to nuclear war. As I've explained to you, that is China's doctrine, that nuclear war is inevitable, and so she's going to try to get it started and over with. Her own prime minister says that it is inevitable and that they want to get the war finished, very likely before they feel that nuclear weapons have been spread all over the world, while there are still zones of peace, like in our area here, that will not be damaged by nuclear war and can be rebuilt. Pravda. Pravda is one of the leading Soviet journals, rebuffs Chinese imperialism and its aspiration for world hegemony. Meaning world supremacy when we say world hegemony. The Chinese accuse the Soviets of that, and USA, and the USA accuses the Soviets and the Chinese of this. It means world supremacy. Hardly likely that any nation will have world supremacy these days. The only country in the world, said the Pravda, that does not apology for war, as I said, again, is their national policy. It's debatable. It's a cruel kind of cold calculation and conclusion about the world. Radio Moscow often praises China for its internal socialist developments, its communal life, but they cannot and do not understand their position on trying to preempt or start a nuclear war. It has been said that in the fears that are characteristic and quite national, universally, that at one time the Soviet Union and the USA considered a preemptive strike. We know USA did. It openly said. Different leaders, like Senator Goldwater some years ago, suggested in striking China, and so did Great Britain, with nuclear bombs blasting out their nuclear capacity before they were able to develop nuclear strategic warheads. But that is too late now. China has them. The UN Security Council resolution have nothing to do with South African multinationals. That is what the UN Security Council suggests. Both resolutions opposed by the U.S. Western-backed powers, of course. Chava province, French multinationals in Zaire have been milking that country, and there is an economic dependence on France because they have $500 million U.S. in debt. And so they lean on Zaire and have been utilizing their resources in that former French-controlled area and Belgian-controlled area of the Congo. Zaire, as you know, of recent days has been drawing closer to Angola, even though Mobutu Sese Seko is not in any means a socialist and a strong-armed dictator. but he has been very, very tired of the policies of having his resources sold at less than the world market. So he worked out an international arrangement to build a railway complex to Angola, where he can then bargain for the highest prices for his copper, cobalt, uranium, and so forth. Terrorism has been charged against the Zimbabwean liberationist. Of course, this is typical propaganda for U.S. imperialism, that they are now also a charge coming before the United Nations by the Zimbabweans against the white Rhodesian regimes of torturing their own fighting force, their guerrilla group that represents 97% of Zimbabwe, and such torture that causes the prisoners to commit suicide to avoid torture. That's how serious it is. So these charges and countercharges and retaliations go back and forth. Mozambique is still being besieged by aggression from Union of South Africa with U.S.-backed planes and economic aid, as well as being besieged by bombings from Rhodesia. The bombings are less, and Mozambique is still holding its own bravely. Be sure to know in the news the commentary on Mozambique, the history on North and South Korea, as well as the other things that I have mentioned, which are important, particularly Guyana's position on imperialism and the reunification of Korea. You'll need to ask for this under the library while you still have time for class. Terrorism charged the Zimbabwean Liberation Front against their children. Several children were captured by the Rhodesian White Army and were tortured and molested, according to their official position paper before the United Nations. Wavish Bay Resolution, Namibian sovereignty is demanded by the foreign minister of Lesotho. They are demanding that Namibian sovereignty be granted and go stronger than the UN resolution. United Nations, of course, first resolution demanded that the Wavish Bay be returned, that important port, to Namibia in its independence on the 6th of December. The UN vote was, however, opposed by Czechoslovakia and the Soviet Union because they said it did not give clear indications that Namibia would have its own independence and they would be under the dominance or the domination of the Western imperialist powers. 87 black bus drivers arrested for, as I said, demanding better working conditions and a slight increase in salary. It's against the law to have strikes in South Africa. South Africa used to have more democracy than USA, so it's a parallel, a kind of a pattern that you can look at and see where USA is going to go. Those strikes have been increasingly interrupted and outlawed in USA when they really took on a serious nature, like the miners' strike or the postal authorities and other unions that were the paper mill that were able to get something off the ground. Now, no one allows freedom when anyone takes that freedom. If freedom is allowed on the surface, and they call it the USA democracy, but when people start taking their democratic rights, they're soon threatened with the army and arrest, martial law and detention, as I said. Even in USA now, Supreme Court's upheld that you can be detained without trial, as Union of South Africa, that dread white fascist regime upheld by our tax dollars, has been doing for some time. The Cuban Youth Festival had a moment of silence as over 23,000 have built up at that great rally of all the nations, 140 nations of the world seeking peace, greatly non-aligned nations, but many socialist nations also involved. They had a moment of silence where there was not one word heard from the 27,000 over the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, in that this is the day in which that happened, that horrible, horrible criminal act happened. It happened, as you know, and has been brought out by Radio Sweden, They dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki to cause the Japanese people to accept a U.S. Surrender, unconditional surrender, even though they, at the present time, at that very moment, were negotiating through Switzerland for a peace. But they now admit, even USA admits, that the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the atomic bombing that destroyed, some say, from 350,000 up to a 500,000 population, burned to a crisp, and now many, many dying slowly by cancer of the blood and other diseases since that time over 30 years ago. It was done to keep the Soviet Union from moving in to Japan as they were about to liberate Japan and negotiate a treaty of surrender with them. And so, rather than have the Soviet Union in the picture, USA bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki and destroyed all those innocent people without even giving any credence, or just ignoring, in fact, their peace overtures that were already in Switzerland, in neutral Switzerland. That's a matter of record for the world. You can't realize that the greatest criminals in the world have been governments, particularly the imperialist and capitalist governments. Beirut, 6 die in fire in that beleaguered city that is still fighting back and forth between Muslim left and the Christian fascist elements as the city is war-torn. Communist Party support in the Soviet Union has been given for the Janusz proposal in Portugal, and the party is warned against protracting anything that could cause a crisis to bring down the Janusz government, which is ostensibly socialist, that has been bent more and more to dependency on imperialist interests by the International Monetary Fund. But apparently, the Soviet Union sees some chance of saving socialism in Portugal. The resignation is called for of Mr. Thorpe of Britain, as you know, the head of the Liberal Party, outstanding parliamentarian. He has a lordship, Lord Thorpe. He is as highly qualified and as prestigious as anyone could be. He had great likelihood of being the next Home Affairs cabinet minister in coalition government, could have been prime minister. One time, he is now charged with murder and conspiracy to murder. Subjects of the meetings of the Soviet trade leaders in the Crimea, Czechoslovakia, the German Democratic Republic, Hungary, Poland, are meeting in a summit also in cooperation to keep ties of friendship and solidarity, calling for reduction of tension in arms race and more cooperation, but it has fallen on deaf ears in the United States. As you know, Sharansky, that USA has made so much concern about his rights as a dissident, they refused, the USSR offered to give them Sharansky for a much less popular person that had been held as a political prisoner in the United States. It was refused. The USSR formally offered to exchange these so-called dissidents who had been convicted in Soviet courts of giving governmental secrets to CIA in, I believe it was Morocco, where they were caught. And yet, when offered to exchange them for the Wilmington 10 blacks, they also refused that. So it seems another hypocritical move, all this emphasis on human rights. It appears that there's even a policy in USA, which makes no sense at all, to preempt a nuclear war. Radio Moscow says that the USA is seemingly very naive in that they have no defense against nuclear war, and the Chinese do, and so does the Soviet Union. So the Soviet Union finds it highly questionable what the USA is doing. Are the U.S. citizens under the false leadership of the capitalist government there, according to Soviet Union's Radio Moscow, just unaware and naive of the consequence of a nuclear war and what it would mean to U.S. cities, the destruction of everything in USA, the elimination of over 200 million lives in the first few minutes of the war. It's incomparable, said the USSR, why they're stepping up their militarist program, their NATO program, the arms race. Trade now is being made a weapon of blackmail, trying to get the Soviet Union to make concessions, which they will not. Taking trips to various countries, acting like imperialist, but the Soviet Union has caught on to their purpose. It is to provoke nuclear war, for whatever reason. Even the USSR admits that that's what China's up to, causing damage to the positions of world socialism. But Peking feels that nuclear war is coming, as you know, and so they want to be able to be the people to build on the ashes of it and thus assure that there will be world socialism after nuclear war. All estimates say that 700 million Chinese would survive a nuclear war, whereas only a handful would survive it in USA. Peking is denounced for its hegemonic actions in Southeast Asia, especially denounced for its actions against Vietnam. The USA, you know, has rushed nuclear fleets with missiles to what they say protect Southeast Asia from Soviet influence. Every nation has its own spheres of influence. USA wouldn't let a revolution in Mexico or Canada, for instance. It won't even let nations go in Africa on their own self-determination. Africa does not have one piece of land that's under Soviet control, or Chinese for that fact. The aid that they receive from both those socialist nations does not put them under an economic tie to those countries. And so obviously China is going to have a zone of influence that they would feel necessary to buffer their interest, as well as the Soviet Union has it in the Warsaw Pact. And when Czechoslovakia wanted to go its own revisionist way, they wouldn't tolerate it, nor Hungary. But the USA is not in any way surrounded by U.S. imperialism. USA, rather, is not surrounded by any other nation. They're not bordering the Soviet Union. Or does China have any possessions close? But the USA has more buffering between them and any other nation than all the other major powers. The World Peace Council, 33rd anniversary of Hiroshima, USSR supports the denouncing of the bombings. There are demonstrations all over the world today over the bombs dropped in Hiroshima as a prologue to future nuclear war. The Soviet Union quotes on Radio Moscow Dr. Daniel Ellsberg, former Pentagon analyst and State Department coordinator, RAND official. They quote him extensively on that fact that nuclear war will happen. The match, he said Dr. Ellsberg on Radio Moscow, as he was picked up from the TV and radio interviews he'd had in USA, the match to start the nuclear war conflagration will be the neutron bomb, the bomb that U.S. has built that destroys property but not people, showing that they are the most inhumane of all, the only nation that has suggested a neutron bomb. Also, neutron bombs for Africa, is reported, are available to destroy their concentration camps or their neighborhoods of blacks that are kept outside of the cities. And it is also stated by Radio Moscow that they have had intelligence reports that the USA will turn those neutron bombs on the ghettos, black neighborhoods, Indian neighborhoods, and they can destroy them without any harm to surrounding white neighborhoods and then be able to move in and pick up the property, because not even a pencil would be moved or a piece of paper, but all human life within the range of a neutron bomb, and they can calculate it within a precise number of square yards, so that would take care of the Fillmore, or the Watts, or whatever other neighborhood they wanted to use. Effects and uses of atomic weapons. 90,000 have died of radiation death since Hiroshima and Nagasaki were destroyed. It is now said 380,000 by Moscow Radio were immediately killed at the time of the blast, and 800,000 were injured in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. That's quite a loss. 1,180,000 and then 90,000 more deaths since World War II, which will bring it to over 1,200,000. Staggering to the imagination. The West is making neutron bombs. They are now producing them, and they're being deployed, says the USSR. They have evidence, and they strongly condemn this and will continue to condemn it until a Holocaust comes, which they say it will bring about. Peking policies in Africa. Somali authorities are greeting the Chinese visitors. Somalia and China tried to make it a mouthpiece of anti-Soviet propaganda. China is seeking domination over other countries, says Radio Moscow. And of course, China is the ones getting scathed more because of its policies of whipping up tensions between USA and USSR. But if that's their picture, that nuclear war is inevitable, I can understand it, though I don't necessarily agree with it. I can understand it. The pretext is economic pressure in Vietnam and in Africa. USSR condemns China for cutting off aid and technical assistance to Albania. China severed relations with Vietnam totally and Albania, as you know. They are assisting smaller countries in Africa, says Radio Moscow. That is good. But these international new developments of this Chinese People's Republic in whipping up the war fervor is dangerous, and they cannot feel, says the Soviet Union, that it is wise, because the Soviet Union still holds to the position that nuclear war can be avoided. I don't share that. That would be a point where I disagree with Soviet Union. I don't think I'd best like Dr. Daniel Ellsberg. And the Soviet Union, really, in its radio broadcasting, is more and more talking like there's no hope to avoid nuclear war. And the fact that they gave so much airtime this afternoon, just a few minutes ago, to Dr. Daniel Ellsberg, who says nuclear war will come. 11th World Youth Festival, it's the first time it was ever held outside of Europe in beautiful Havana, Cuba. Professional art, fashions, brightest of all festivals that ever been. 145 nations from all continents have agreed on peace and disarmament, condemning USCIA for weather modification, condemning social injustice caused by the USA in Africa, condemning the imperialist policies of the USA. There was no condemnation in the World Festival against China. But they did represent concern over China's international policies that could very easily lead to nuclear war. Main issue, imperialism. It violates world peace and tranquility. Tribunal of the 145 nations present in Havana will be gathering and meeting regularly because of the dangers of nuclear war to try to get across to the world what will happen to humanity in case of an imperialist war. This is the updating of the news. You have other news now. You can go back and get that. Know the commentaries, I said. It's important that you do know the commentaries. Abortion foes have been plotting tactics in St. Louis and targeting progressive social movements for violence as the source of breakdown in U.S. society. The right-wing National Right to Life Committee, NRLC, has invoked the battle cries of the abolition and anti-war and civil rights movements to embellish a progressive-sounding image at its national conference. The clash between anti-abortion forces and the pro-choice movement continued. Meanwhile, in courts, state legislatures, and in abortion clinics themselves, with a number of significant developments in the abortion struggle. more states are passing legislation against abortion. A lot of unwanted children, but there are also dangers with abortion. It's a loaded question. One has to realize that if you can kill life before it's born, some could easily step that up to destroy life that's undesired, that's a wrong race, wrong class, even after they're born. FBI has pushed Klan violence, admitted by Washington Post. It has been a matter of record now that the FBI was involved and participated in Ku Klux Klan violence, said the Washington Post. The postal workers were forced back to work because of their walkout strike, threatening of army intervention. It was decided that it was illegal for them to strike, yet some 3,000 Postal Service employees from the Northeast converged on Washington, D.C., threatening to do just that till the Army told them they'd be arrested if they did not go back to work. They were chanting, "No contract, no work." They promised a walkout, but the Army threatened arrest of all of them. And so, if U.S. can't be seen for what it is, hypocritical, supposed to be right to strike, but not so. Postal workers had claimed that they had currently unproductive contract negotiations that had not borne any fruit for several years to give needs to people in a horribly, horribly inflationary environment where they do not have enough money to pay their bills from the wages they receive. Whose son is going to be shot next? That's how the demonstrators related the day-to-day reality of Texas injustice as some 700 Hispanics strode several miles in the 114-degree heat to a rally in Plainview against police murders that are rampant throughout the state of Texas. Yesterday, President Carter showed us how little we meant to him, Ruben Sandoval, a San Antonio lawyer, emphasized to the crowd. "I want you to remember yesterday, I want you to say to him, 'Mr. President, I am a 12-year-old child with my hands cuffed behind my back, and I have been assassinated.'" Sandoval's comments and the demonstration in front of the Hill County Courthouse came in response to the Justice Department's announcement of last week that the federal government refused to step in and prosecute the Dallas police, the leader of the conspiracy, Dallas Sergeant Daryl Kane, on civil rights charges for the murders of several, including a youngster of 12 years of age, Santos Rodriguez. 5 years ago, Rodriguez, 12, sat in a Dallas cop car as Kane slapped a three-